Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Bonnie. Good evening. How are you?
Good. And how was your holiday?
My holiday was wonderful. I spent it with family, and it was, I couldn't ask for more. It was a wonderful holiday.
And you're still on your holiday, right?
I am still on holiday away in the mountains, and it is beautiful and cold. I love cold weather. But we haven't got any snow yet, so I'm a little disappointed. But oh well.
Well, here in Philadelphia, we did have some snow on Thursday, and I was disappointed that it came. So that's the difference between you and me. I was very disappointed and shocked. Shocked and dismayed is more like it. Anyway, tonight we're going to have a really exciting guest on, and we're so happy to have her. Her name is Carmen Pulido, and Carmen is a California author who has written a book called The Women's Success Guide, Unlock the Key to Your Success. And, Misty, you know, I'm not real big on reading books. You know, I don't mind writing them, but I'm not great on reading them because, you know, I usually get really bored with them. But this is such a great handbook that, you know, to really help women to refine their self-esteem and rebuild it. And very few authors really impress me, but this is just such a simply, wonderfully written book that every woman's going to learn from. And 2 weeks ago on our show, I, you know, wrote some of the passages from there. So Carmen's going to be joining us tonight and giving us her expertise and her experience with this. And, of course, you know, it's a very inexpensive little book, and it will really change a lot of things in your life, you know, when you buy it. And we're really proud to have Carmen with us tonight. And I think that she hits all the issues that you and I always talk about, because we both know how difficult it is to rebuild self-esteem when you've lost it, correct?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. And, you know, as we've talked about before, it's difficult to rebuild. And sometimes when we work with women, we realize that they have never built a positive self-esteem. So some people are just freshly learning how to build.
Right. You see that happening a lot when women come from abusive family, you know, upbringing, you know, where they have families where there's dysfunction and abuse from it. So they never had self-esteem to start with, because they never had normal-type parents who were supportive and nurturing to them. And then they walk into a marriage that's really, you know, destructive. So you're right. They've never had the self-esteem to start with, and now they have to first learn to build it. So even if you've had it and you lose it or never had it at all, what do you think is worse, Misty?
Oh, what is it worth?
Mm-hmm.
A positive self-esteem is priceless.
No, I'm saying, is it worse to have never had it? Now, I mean, which way is it easier? If you had it and you have to rebuild it, or never had it and have to first build it?
Wow. There's difficulties in both. I've seen, you know, I don't know if I could really answer that. I have seen women have it and lost it, and they sort of, they grieve that. Then once they start regaining their self-esteem, they get so mad at themselves for letting their self-esteem go. And they can really talk, you know, do that self-hatred talk and just really talk mean to themselves. Then, on the other hand, I've seen women that have never experienced a positive self-esteem environment to help nurture their self-esteem. I've seen them try to grow that, and then when they start bringing people into their lives that are positive people, they don't know how to handle that sometimes. And it's so difficult for them to really believe that that person may be genuine, and not necessarily just a romantic relationship. I'm talking about just general friendships as well. And so it's so difficult. That's a hard question. I don't know if I have an answer for that, because I see both sides being very difficult to each person, regardless if they had self-esteem and lost it or if they're just learning to build it.
I think it's harder if you've never had it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have any kind of success track record.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize, you know, what you're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in many ways that it's really difficult, you know, to find it. And you have to really, you're not sure what rate you're supposed to be going at. If you're going at a proper rate, you need also positive reinforcement, because you've never had any. Where I think women who have self-esteem because they had, you know, positive reinforcement throughout their lives. They just got into a bad situation. At least they have life experience to look back on so they know they can rebuild it again.
Yeah, that's true. And, but you know, what I find so sad is some of the women I've worked with, they've literally ran companies before that were just amazing profit-making companies, just very, and not just that, just very professional, smart women that have great self-esteem. And then once they go to the straight gay marriage, literally afterwards I see them so broken that they could not tell me what their favorite food was, what their favorite color was, just so such in a deep depression. It's just, it's terrible. Either way is so terrible, but I do agree that if you don't ever have it and you've never built it, you can't reflect back on past success, so that would definitely be more difficult.
I agree, and I think Carmen's with us now, so hold on just one moment.
Okay.
Carmen?
Hi. Hi, Bonnie and Misty.
Hi, welcome to our Straight Wife Show. You're here with me and Misty. And we really appreciate you calling in.
I'm so honored and grateful to be with you tonight because I think what the two of you are doing is such important work and you're helping so many people, and I'm just really excited to be a part of it. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Well, thanks for being with us, Carmen. And I was telling Misty when we started the show tonight that, you know, I would sooner in most cases read a book than write a book than read a book. I'm not a great reader.
Okay.
There's a million books out there that I've looked at, you know, I've skimmed through them, self-help books, but none of them to me were as compelling as your book.
Oh, thank you.
And when I first saw your book, I was just so amazed that everything that we talk about with our straight wives is exactly the things that you're addressing. And I told women who are listening to our show now that they're going to be so thrilled when they hear what you have to offer, and that you're going to be talking to them about how to, you know, get the book. And I think this will be a major help in rebuilding self-esteem, or Misty and I were just talking about finding self-esteem if you've never had it.
Right.
Because from our experiences in, you know, counseling, we've seen that women who come from abusive, you know, childhoods where they didn't have positive role modeling and parenting from their parents,
mm-hmm.
and they grow up, you know, in a dysfunctional environment, then they walk into another dysfunctional environment, they've never had the opportunity to build self-esteem or even have any.
Exactly, exactly. That's very common. Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that you'll be able to help our women tonight and give them some great tips on, you know, how to start this process.
Okay, all right. That's my challenge.
Well,
okay,
I'd like to, it's okay with you, Carmen, to,
yeah,
you know, just go through the book briefly and maybe
sure.
discuss a little bit about, you know, each of the chapters and the Guide
okay.
to the Success Principles, because this is a workbook. This isn't just, you know, reading, although it's really fascinating reading, but it's also a workbook for women to start working.
Correct.
And, you know,
correct.
You start the book with an introduction on what's stopping you from succeeding. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, we all have issues, you know, and we're going to have issues until we kick out of here, actually, and because that's life is a journey, and you have to face your issues, though. So that's what the book, that's one of the things that it tries to help you do, is identify and clarify what your issues are. You have to bring things out to the light before you can work on them. You know, so that's one of the things that it really does. It helps you, hopefully, as you go through the different principles, it will trigger you to think about how you relate in that particular area and decide, you know, if you're not really facing some things, bring those things out so you can look at them and face them and then move on. So,
bring up a little bit about your own background, what led you to write this book, your own experiences.
Okay. Just went through a lot of changes in relationships. I didn't specifically have the gay husband situation, but I definitely had low self-esteem. And my personal situation was that it started with my father not being around, and in another way, he kind of called it the abandoned father syndrome. And a lot of us have it. We don't have dads around, and sometimes the men that we do have around are not supportive of us. We may be emotionally abused or physically abused. I wasn't physically abused, but there was mental and emotional abuse going on. And that is really negatively affects your self-esteem. So I found myself getting into just one bad relationship after another. And early on was attracting abusive relationships. And, you know, when that happens, you have to look at yourself because there's a part you're playing in that. If it was just that that's, you know, you didn't have any good role models, so you don't know what to expect and you want to be valued by someone, and a lot of times the ones that give you value are these ones that are over-controlling. So it came out of my need to make sense out of what I was doing wrong in my life. And I've always been interested in psychology since college. I've read a lot of psychology books. I've been in therapy, you know, prayed and all of that, and just to really, I came up with it to answer the whys of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Is really how it developed, and I sort of did it in terms of if I had a daughter, because I have two sons, but if I did have a daughter or a niece, and I didn't want to see her go through the bad relationships and learning the hard way that I went through things, what would I tell her or what would I tell young women so that maybe they didn't have to go through things the hard way, you know? So that's kind of how it developed. And then from there, that's how the principles developed. Okay, what would I tell a niece or my daughter? And for instance, the first one is love yourself and others properly.
Before you go into that, I just want to mention that these are 10 principles that you've come up with that are part of this book. And if you look through each one of these principles, these are all the keys to building your self-esteem. So when Carmen's saying love yourself and others properly, that's her success principle number one, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Exactly. And talk a little bit about that.
Okay, well, that's the cornerstone to your success. It has to start with self-love. There's no place else that you can start with it, because if you don't have that foundation, you're just sabotaging yourself. For instance, I say you can't have high self-esteem without high self-love, and the way you get and keep high self-love is to support and stand up for yourself always, no matter what the circumstances or the challenges. It's just the cornerstone. You're setting yourself up to fail if you're not putting yourself first and you're not being kind to yourself and you're not standing up for yourself. Because you need to have that foundation before you can build upon that and make plans and set goals and do all of the other things.
Now, what I love what you say about this principle number one, if you don't mind me just reading this little bit. You state, let me give you another compelling reason why you must start with self-love. If you don't, whether you realize it or not, you're really sabotaging yourself and setting yourself up to fail because you're approaching life from a position of weakness, not strength. When you make others' needs and wants more important than your own, and or you're not willing to show up for yourself when you need to, you're not going to get the best that life has to offer. You're going to get the leftovers. What somebody is willing to give you, what they think you deserve, or even worse, what nobody else really wants. Winners and successful people never settle for what someone else thinks they should have or get. They know that what they want, and they go after it no matter what. And I just love that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's true, though. It all begins with you and how you feel about yourself, because all that projects. You're constantly projecting everywhere you go and everything you do, and even when you're not saying things, you're giving out vibrations. And, you know, so that's why you really got to start with yourself.
You know, Carmen, you know, this goes beyond us for just gay husbands because of the fact that many of our women, after their gay husband, go into self-destructive relationships also with a straight man. You know, we say there's lots
right.
of predators out there, and not just, you know, gay husbands. There are a lot of straight men who are also predators.
Exactly.
That they see women who they can control. They can spot you a mile away, I always say. And that's
they
why...
can.
Right? I always tell women after a bad relationship, you need to go through a recovery period where you have to do the self-examination and see what it is, what vibrations, like you're saying, that you're giving off to people to make them think that you're the kind of woman that will settle for less or settle for their ill behavior. Would you say that's true?
It's totally true. Totally true. And I heard you cover that on a previous show, and it's really, really valid. It's really valid. And one of the things that I do think is particularly good about the book, if I do say so myself, is the success exercises. I didn't want to just write a book where, you know, it says you should do this or you should do that, and you read it and then you put it up on the shelf. The success exercises that follow every chapter are what actually move you along and help you uncover these things that you need to cover and deal with your feelings and deal with your backstory, your parental backstory and whatnot, so that you can move on. You have to look at things. You have to really look at things and face things before you can move on. So that's one of the things that I think the exercises really help everyone do for themselves.
One of the things you state in the first principle, maybe you could discuss this a little bit, is how to love others properly. Can you discuss that?
Right. And this ties in with self-esteem, because when you don't have appropriately high self-esteem, you put others' needs above your own. So one thing that I said in the book about that is you love others properly when you give them your time, attention, and consideration without causing yourself undue harm, inconvenience, or sacrifice. And that sounds simple, but, you know, it can be really hard for women to do for a lot of reasons. You don't even have to be abused for that to be hard to do, because if you think about it, when we're little girls, what are our toys? Doll babies mm-hmm. and kitchen sets and, you know, just the doll baby right there. From when we're little kids ourselves, we're trained to care about other people and take care of other people, you know, and not necessarily, you know, become what we need to become before we take care of others. So, you know, that's why it's difficult, and women can get into these patterns of feeling like that they should be sacrificing all the time and giving, you know, other people what they need before you give yourself what you need. So that's kind of the, you know, what I'm trying to get at with that, is that, yes, you know, love other people. Yes, give other people your attention and your time and your consideration, but not to the extent where it harms you or you're just sacrificing your life for someone else.
One of the points you bring out here is something that we talk about a lot on the show, and I'm just going to read this, if you don't mind, for a moment, because I
okay.
just love what this says, and, you know, I read this earlier on another show, but I think it's so important. You have a part in here about parental influence.
Right.
And it says, another reason why it's hard to love properly is because we're not born with that ability. The ability to love others and ourselves properly is an art that's learned. It's not something that just comes naturally. Most parents naturally love their children, but they don't necessarily know how to love themselves or their children properly. Parents are flawed human beings, just like everyone else, who have reproduced another human being. And human beings who reproduce other human beings don't automatically and mysteriously lose their faults and flaws and become terrific, mature, responsible parents who know how to love themselves and others properly. Instead, what usually happens is the parents parent the way they were parented, whether they had good role models or not. Therefore, faulty ideas and behaviors get passed on from one generation to another, and children internalize bad and unloving stuff as normal or as what is to be expected, or worse yet, what they deserve. Then when these children become parents, unless they've enlightened and repeat and pass on the same faulty thoughts and behaviors to their children, and the cycle grinds on. That's how we let the negative experiences we've had in our lives influence our ability to feel good about ourselves and others and inhibit our ability to make smart, self-affirming choices that result in successful, fulfilling lives. You know,
right.
I think that one of the things we bring up a lot on the show, Missy and I talk a lot about parenting and how we have to be role models to our children, because if they see us in destructive relationships, this is going to be their legacy that we leave them, and we see this all the time.
Right.
So maybe, can you bring up a little bit about that?
Well, right. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to break the patterns, to break those patterns, but you have to acknowledge that that's what you saw, and consciously, you know, make a mental note not to repeat it, you know, and it has to stay in the forefront of your mind when you are, you know, with your children, because you don't want them to repeat, you know, the negative things. But I also have kind of some exercises that relate to that, because I ask you to list the negative and the positive things that you got from your parents in the exercises. And then after that, you know, I ask you to release it, you know, and write some affirmations to them, whether they're still alive or not, that helps you release that. Because, again, you don't want to get into repeating, but also you don't want to get to spend your life blaming your parents, you know, for what they did, and now you're wasting your life just in blame, which that is one of the other, you know, principles, to take responsibility for yourself, you know, and not stay in that, you know, that blame mode thing.
There's one more point you bring up in this principle, and, you know, I like to cling on to every word you write, because I've never read such beautiful words anywhere in my life.
Oh, thank you.
In my whole life, and I'm old now already, and I still never read anything this beautiful. In fact, I wish I could have stolen these thoughts from you. But I just want to bring up this one. It says, non-loving behaviors that masquerade as love. And it says, at last but not least, I think it's hard to love properly because of the many non-loving behaviors that masquerade as love. Many wounded people, wounded in the psychological sense, have mistakenly accepted the following behaviors as part of the loving process because that's what they've been exposed to, or it's what they're used to, or what they think they deserve. These are not love or loving behaviors and are usually practiced by people who don't really love you and are actually trying to manipulate or control you. Don't connect the word love with any of these behaviors, and don't sabotage yourself by accepting these behaviors for the sake of anything, not the children, your parents, your marriage, your relationship, your job, or anything. If you do, you're setting yourself up to fail and not succeed. And then you go on to talk about physical abuse of any kind, saying that physical abuse of any kind is not love. It's negative reinforcement, and there's no good and loving reason for physically abusing anyone, period. Those who abuse other people are wounded individuals who are incapable of loving themselves or others properly. And since you can't count on changing anybody but yourself, if you don't get away from whoever is abusing you, you are participating in your own demise. There is absolutely positively no way you will be successful or will remotely reach your highest and best potential if you allow someone to abuse you. The best way not to be successful is to allow anybody to physically, emotionally, or mentally abuse you. I just love that.
Well, thank you. But it's the bottom line. It's the bottom line. Been there, done that. You know, you just do not feel good about yourself. And you can't. You can't.
And can you talk a little bit about engaging in negative thoughts and self-talk? I think that's so important for our women to hear that.
Right. That's another thing that we kind of can get into, and, you know, you think it's not so bad for you, but it really is, because everything that you do, you know, starts with a thought in your head. So you really have to be careful about what you're thinking and what you're telling yourself. And you don't want to, you know, continually allow yourself to engage in negative thoughts and self-talk. Because for one thing, if you tell yourself that you can't do something, you won't be able to do it, you know, because your thoughts create your feelings and then they control your actions. And so you have to start with the thought. I do talk about something that I call mental reframing. And I say that it's the way that you keep yourself positive and you keep your energy positive instead of negative. Uh-huh. And it's kind of simple. It's like, for instance, maybe you're driving and you take a wrong turn. And instead of saying, "Oh God, I'm such an idiot, I took a wrong turn," you stop and you say something positive to yourself, like, "Oh, well, this is not the way I want to go," or, "Oops, you know, made a mistake." But you don't allow yourself to down yourself, because you think it's not important, but it really is. So what I say is, the next time you hear yourself in your mind saying something negative and unloving to yourself, visualize a big red stop sign and just stop uh-huh. yourself. Just interrupt the pattern and just don't go there. And just think of a positive, you know, way to frame whatever it is you did, instead of, you know, saying something negative.
Do you think a lot of those messages you're giving yourself come from your parents and your upbringing?
Sure,
"Oh, I'm so stupid," or they're messages from the people you're living with.
It could easily be that. But, you know,
you're just reinforcing those negative thoughts that you've grown up with.
You're just reinforcing them. But you cannot allow yourself to do that, because the whole thing is about, you know, one of the keys is about positive energy, staying positive and staying focused on what you do want, not what you don't want. So when you're being negative and you're calling yourself an idiot and I'm stupid and all of this, you're focusing on negative. You're not focusing on positive. So that's really, really got to stop that. Really can't have that luxury of downing yourself. Can't do it.
And you have some really excellent exercises, as you mentioned, for the end of Principle 1. And then when you get into Principle 2, it's strive for your highest and best use. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Now this is when you're talking about how you can really be successful, because we all have some special talent or gift, every single one of us. And those of us that are most successful are the ones that learn how to take advantage of that, utilize what's natural. You know, the easy examples are singers and basketball players and musicians, people with natural talent. Obviously, they're going to be good at those things because it comes natural to them and they enjoy doing it. So my suggestion is that you really look at and list and know what things you're really good at and you love to do, and then focus on careers where you can utilize that. And things, careers and goals that you have that help a lot of people or impact a large amount of people, those are the things that can allow you to be very successful. You know, and if you just think of the most successful people, they do things that help a lot of people. So, you know, focus on that. Focus on what you really love to do. Hello?
This is Misty. I want to comment on a few things you have. It's brilliant. I love everything you have to say. And, you know, this sounds a lot like, and I'm sure you're familiar with some of the phrases you're using, like the laws of attraction.
Right.
in terms of where, you know, I find so often that women focus on what they don't want.
Right.
And when you focus on what you don't want, you can so lose sight of what you do want. And I think it's so important to repeat that, because it's one of the main things. Because, I do the life coaching with many of the straight wives, and it's so important that's one of the very important things we work with to try to build the self-esteem and also the affirmations. So
right.
could you talk a little bit about the importance of the affirmations here as well, especially when, you know, like, and give us some examples of something you have experience with of what you didn't want, and you turned it into something you did want, and then therefore turned it into a positive affirmation that you would repeat to yourself or something like that. Could you talk a little bit about that right now?
Okay. Let's see. Something that I didn't want. I guess I would have to think about, I'd have to go back to, you know, being in abusive relationships. You kind of like can get, when you're in that, it batters your self-esteem, and then you're focusing on why, you know, why did I get into this relationship, and why did I attract another person like this? And so you're still stuck on the why about something that's negative, instead of saying, you know, I'm not going to have that anymore in my life. And the next person that I deal with, I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to make sure that is not something, like, that might be one of the first questions I ask on a next date. You know, has
Absolutely.
That ever been anything that they've done, you know? And I'm just going to focus on what I do want, you know. I want a man who has not done that and is not interested in doing that and supports me, you know, and values me, not one who doesn't. My father wasn't available, so I'm focusing on a man who is available. And when I say that now the next relationship I go into, now I'm looking for that. And so if he is available, I can recognize it, and if he's not, I'm out of there.
So what you mean by available also, Carmen, do you mean emotionally available also?
Emotionally available, very much emotionally available, because that's how people are emotionally abused, when people do not consider them, you know, when the man puts himself, you know, first and makes you feel like it's always about them and it's not about you, you know.
Have you dealt with many men who have narcissistic behaviors?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
We find that a lot with our men. A lot.
Really?
Maybe you could talk a little bit about narcissism for our listeners.
Well, it's just people that are just, the world revolves around them. The world revolves around them. And again, that goes back to self-esteem. If your self-esteem isn't high enough, you don't think anything's really wrong with that. You know, because you don't think you're as good as they are, so you think you're supposed to do for them, and you're supposed to listen to them, and they are right, you know, because you're not putting yourself equal with them. So now that's a perfect example of why your self-esteem has to be as high as whoever you're with. You know,
I think what's really important is your next principle 3 is take responsibility for every aspect of your life. And a very good concept here is avoid playing the blame game.
Right.
And I know that, you know, I'm the first to always talk about my downfalls and, you know, weak spots throughout my life. And I was really screwed up as a teenager. And, you know, it was really easy for me to blame my parents because, you know, they were easy targets for me to blame. They weren't
right.
the most stable parents growing up, and I didn't really have a normal type of, you know, childhood growing up. Right. And so I started doing really self-destructive things by the time I was a teenager, and I carried on into, you know, my early 20s. And I would always give everybody a sad story, well, my mother this, my father that, what do you expect? And then one day I kept listening to myself and saying, you know what, I'm an adult now. I can't keep blaming them. You know, I know what the difference is between right and wrong. You know, I have to take responsibility for myself.
Right.
And I think that's the point that you're bringing out in this principle. Is that correct?
It is. It's totally the point. It's totally the point. At some point, you have to let go of your story. You know, you have to let go of whatever didn't go right, whatever you didn't get, whoever did this or whoever did that. You know, it's really just an excuse for not taking responsibility for yourself when you blame other people, you know. And I did it. I did it for a while, you know. Blame this husband and whatnot. But you don't really start living your own life and creating your own successes until you're willing to take responsibility for yourself. And, you know, it's just one of the keys. You just, there's just no way around it. Because when you blame somebody else for your situation, what you're really saying is, I'm not responsible for my own life. Somebody else is. You know?
But I think you say so beautifully here. You say that if you don't learn your lesson, you'll keep attracting the same challenges and problems.
Right.
So the most challenging aspects of your life contain your biggest lessons. You're supposed to go through these challenges because there's something you need to learn, understand, pass on, renounce, let go of, affirm, or possibly teach others to overcome. Throughout most of my life, my challenges have revolved around dealing with the negative influences and consequences of non-supportive love relationships. I kept having the same challenges because I kept replacing people instead of learning my lesson by fixing what was lacking in me.
Right.
Once I began taking full responsibility for my choices and for my own happiness and direction, and I stopped expecting love to complete me, I learned the lesson I was supposed to learn. The lesson I was supposed to learn is I need to love and support myself first, no matter what or who doesn't support me, because I was born worthy of love. I've always been trying to get from others. Once I finally got that, I started to choose differently, and choosing differently produced different results. Results
right.
more in line with what I truly wanted because I changed who I was.
Right.
And I think that's such a great point to bring out to women.
Yeah, thank you. It's true, though. You gotta learn your lessons. You gotta learn your lessons. And unfortunately, you know, when you're accept abuse, then the lesson is you can't accept it. You got to stand up for yourself, and that's not right, and you can't accept it. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's the lesson you have to learn. Yeah.
Then you go on to success principle number 4, which is goal setting. Visualize and honestly articulate your wants and desires, which is part of assertiveness training, wouldn't you say so?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now you're getting into the real work of making your dreams come true, because everything that anybody great has accomplished or whatever started with the thought that they wanted to do it. You don't just get up and do everything, anything, you know. Any actor or basketball player or whatever, they don't just wake up one day and they're in the NBA, or, you know, or you're on stage. You visualize it first. So this is how, now this is the work of how you make your dreams a reality. We already talked about it. You know you're worthy. That's one of the things. And then you take full responsibility for your life. And now you analyze what it is you're good at, and, you know, what you could possibly be successful at because you like it and you're just passionate about it. Now you're going to visualize yourself doing that, and that's the beginning of making your plan of how you're going to get there. You know, and one example that I use is the book. You know, it starts with an idea that I want to write a book to have some keys for women to help them increase their chances of success. That's the first thought. Not a word on paper, nothing on paper, But that's how it starts, with a thought. And then I'm visualizing the produced book before it's produced. And then every day in the moment, you chunk out a little bit of it. You know, you're right today. You're right, you know, 3 days from now. It took me a year to write the book. But it all started with the desire to do it. And so that's where it starts for everyone, with whatever it is you want to do. You want to be a nurse, you want to be a hairstylist, you want to design clothes, whatever. Let yourself have the vision. Think about it, visualize it, feel it, and then you will start taking action on your feelings and your visualizations.
One of the points you bring up in this chapter on this principle that I really love is because it's about, you know, asserting yourself and being honest. Because
right.
I think women have such a difficult time with that. And you mentioned here that men are trained to be strong, independent, and opinionated, and women are raised to be nice, respectful, cooperative, and nurturing. I think many women have a hard time with honesty because honesty jeopardizes relationships. Some women are afraid they won't be liked, accepted, wanted, or desired if they speak their minds, and many women would rather be dishonest than lose a relationship. Some women think that they'll turn people off, seem too bitchy or too aggressive if they say what's really on their minds. Some women spend more time thinking about what they should say rather than actually saying what they really think or feel. Dear sisters and girlfriends, if you are not painfully honest about your abilities, your wants, needs, goals, and your vision, you will waste a lot of time and energy, and you will never truly be successful because you'll be living a fantasy life, not the real life you were meant to live.
Right.
I think that's just so beautiful, the way you put it.
Oh, thanks.
And it's so true that women, you know, are just so afraid to speak up and say what they want for fear of rejection.
Right, right. We're always second guessing ourselves a lot, and it just, you know, the people pleasing, wanting to be nice and have everybody get along, and just, you know, not wanting to blow the situation. But really, if you're not honest, you're just not going to get what you want. It's just really the bottom line.
Let me move on to Chapter 5, which is Success Principle Number 5, to plan, act, and manage your time wisely.
Okay.
And can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. Now we're getting into the more meaty things of how exactly to manifest the things that you want. You have to set goals. Some people do it and are good at it, and some people kind of would rather kind of wing life. But if you really want to be successful, you really want to be more specific. You want to set specific goals for specific time periods, and then what you need to do is chunk those into sub-goals, because the sub-goals are the things that you can do on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis that move you along and get you to complete your goals. And I talk about three levels of goals. Short term is goals that happen within a year, and then medium length goals are ones that happen 1 to 5 years, and then long range goals 5 to 10 years. So you know, the short term and the medium term goals are the ones that we have, you know, the most influence over. So it's really important to do that. To-do lists and having the weekly planners and all of that, and going through your to-do list and rewarding yourself at the end of the day or a week for accomplishing your smaller goals. The next best way to improve your self-esteem, because your self-esteem gets improved by not only standing up for yourself when you need to, but by making your own plan and sticking to it and accomplishing small things and bigger things that lead to the big thing that you want at the end.
One of the things that, you know, Misty does a lot with our women, because Misty is also an art therapist.
Oh.
And yes, Misty is extremely talented.
Thanks.
I find extremely annoying, but all right. What Misty really tells women to do, and I've done this with, you know, women that I work with also, and they just love this idea, as you're saying it, Carmen, that you have to set goals, and, you know, each step really does build your self-esteem. Misty artistically has women, you know, talk a little bit about the jar, Misty, with the putting in the shells or the rocks.
Absolutely. You know, when you're building your self-esteem, sometimes when you're consciously working on it, especially if you have low self-esteem, you don't even give yourself credit for what you're building and what you're doing positive for yourself. So I tell the women I work with, start a little positivity jar. Just, it doesn't have to be fancy. It can just be like a clear glass jar. Uh-huh. And every time you do something for yourself positive, or every time you, it could even be as much as accepting a compliment. If someone says, oh, you have a beautiful red shirt on today, instead of saying, oh, I had it years ago, you allow yourself to say instead, thank you. Just anything positive that you've experienced during the day.
Right.
Put a pebble, put a stone, put anything. Doesn't matter.
I love that.
In that.
Well, you
jar,
know, the great thing about it, Carmen, that I have a friend. I had a friend who did this. You know, she was getting out of a bad relationship and she was feeling so horrible about herself. And I told her about Misty's idea.
Uh-huh.
And she couldn't wait to come home every day, you know, when she did something in a positive way and said, I'm putting a pebble in my jar. But you'd be surprised, like at the end of 2 or 3 months, that jar was almost filled and she could visually
mm-hmm.
see
yes.
all the positive things that she accomplished.
That's fantastic. I love that. I'm going to use that myself, Misty.
Thank you.
I like that.
Wonderful. It's beautiful because, you know, if you accept or do 3 things positive one day, give yourself 3 tokens to put in that glass jar, whatever those tokens are. It can be anything.
Right.
And you will see it build up because I found with the women I work with, we also need visual reminders.
Sure.
As well as just hearing people say stuff or, you know, talking to ourselves. When we can see, like, a measurement of accomplishment, I find that often helps.
Yes, that's
and
very good.
And another thing that Misty does also, Carmen, that you might want to utilize with, you
uh-huh.
know, ties right into your goals, is that Misty uses visualization boards where she has women cut out, you know, where they see themselves in 2 years, 3 years, things they want to do, places they want to go.
Right.
And put it, you know, cut out pictures from magazines or whatever the case is and post them on a bulletin board to constantly visually remind themselves that you have a goal, this is what you want to achieve.
Right.
You know, this is where you're going towards. And they can, I think that sometimes seeing it has really helped a lot of these women.
That's great.
Some women really need visual materials to really see it.
I hear you. I like that one, too. I've heard of that before, and I've said I was going to do that myself, but that's another thing I need to do, too. We all need it. Like, even me, you know, I've you know, said these things and whatnot, but we all need to constantly have things that motivate us. You know,
mm-hmm.
I need that also. So I like that one, too. I'm going to do that as well.
Yeah, some of our women really find that is a really good tool, you know, when they start feeling down. Or
right.
that, you know, we tell women that there's no straight road up. Sometimes you'll take 2 steps and go back 1, but then you go another 2 or 3 steps. And when they have that backward step, it's good to be able to look at something and realize that there's a goal to reach.
Right, right.
So
I
think
that
really works well for some women. Also, another thing that Misty mentioned, it's a little thing, but we teach women also, learn how to say thank you instead of making excuses for things. And, I think that's a really big sign of low self-esteem that I had most of my life, that when somebody would pay me a compliment, you know, I wasn't able to accept it. I would always make an excuse or reason or joke it off.
Right, right.
So
someone says you have a nice blouse on. Oh, this is 10 years old.
Exactly.
You know? Oh, I got this
from
the thrift shop, you know.
Right. We have to downplay the compliment. And, you know, that's just a sign to show you that you don't think highly enough of yourself. And we make women say thank you. And it's
right.
a really hard thing for many women to do. And we've gone beyond that now. It's like when people tell me something, I say, well, it's because I deserve it. try to tell people to learn how to use that phrase now.
Yes.
That's right. I deserve it. And, and I really believe it. You know, I've talked myself into deserving better things for myself.
Exactly.
Because I am worthy of it. And I'm not afraid to say it anymore.
That's
On
good.
On your principle number six, you talk about making favorable personal choices. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, that's another thing. And there are some keys to be able to do that. I kind of broke that down. One, I give you three techniques for making a favorable choice. First of all, I say that a favorable choice is generally a choice that meets a need or want without harming you or anyone else. It's a choice that increases your self-esteem, advances your goals or plans, or gets you closer to your highest and best use. So that's kind of like a checklist that you can kind of use to see if, you know, if this choice qualifies as a favorable choice or not. And another technique I suggest is I call it the cost-benefit analysis, but another way you could put it is just a good old pros and cons list. A lot of times, and this goes back to the visualization, when you actually put something down on paper, just like you were saying, you see the vision board and you see the pebbles in a jar, it makes more sense to you. So the next time you have to make an important choice, like maybe what school you want to attend, put the pros and cons of two different schools. And you can visually see, and you just sit there and don't put a lot of, you know, overthinking in it, but just hit the first things that you think of, all the pros of one choice and all the cons of that choice. And you look at the list and you'll see in the pros, if the pros are longer and the cons are shorter, you know, it's probably a good choice. So that's one.
And I tell women to do the same thing with men. I don't know if you would agree with that.
I like that.
I think it's really important that when you meet someone and you're looking to get involved with them,
uh-huh.
make that pros and cons list. And if you see those cons are adding up more than the pros, you have to learn to cut your losses.
Right.
And I think that, you know, you have to be realistic about it and you have to be honest about it.
Yes.
Because once again, we're working with vulnerable women who have already had, you know, bad experiences, much like, you know, you're talking about.
Right.
And if you don't want to keep making the same mistakes, then you have to be honest about it, make a list, talk about the good things, and recognize on the cons what you can't change. Because
right.
some things are just not changeable. And we see women who take on the challenges of life. And especially, you know, on the homosexuality issue, where we tell women, the overwhelming majority of women have no idea when they're marrying someone who's gay.
Right.
But we still have some women who have some inkling or some kind of red flag that something's off, but they believe that if you love someone enough, through love you can change them. And we know that's not true.
Right.
I mean, that's just not the case when you have behaviors that just can't change.
Yeah.
So, I think it's really important, you know, even in straight relationships, if you put down the pros and the cons when you're moving into your next relationship
mm-hmm.
so that you don't fall back into what you call bad habits of making bad choices.
Right.
You know, be honest about it. And if you see those cons lining up, say goodbye to the guy.
Right. Right. And
in chapter 7, you have your success principle number 7 of discipline and control yourself.
Right.
And can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Most of the book up to this point talks about things that you should do to try to increase your chances of success. But this one just focuses on a lot of times success has to do with controlling what you don't do. Just don't do certain things. You know,
we have a really good book here of the classic don'ts for successful living. Like, don't do things that might result in long-term or permanent consequences unless you really want that consequence. For example, drinking and driving, unprotected sex, verbally or physically expressing your anger whenever you feel like it, hanging out with people you know are up to no good. Don't do things that lower your self-esteem. This could be any number of activities. You'll know what they are because the activity won't feel right or will be uncomfortable for you. Somehow, don't ignore the signals that warn you when something is not good or right for you. Just say no and do something else that does feel right. You know, I think that plays a lot into relationships, that a lot of the women just keep doing things even though it doesn't feel right to them.
Right.
Because they want so much to be loved or to try to, you know, change things. And if they do things that their husbands want, even if it's not what they want, that maybe their husbands will love them more or better.
Right.
And of course, we know that doesn't work. And then
it
you say,
work.
Don't do things that make it harder for you to function normally. Abuse of drugs and alcohol are obviously don'ts that make it harder for you to function. But mismanaging your finances makes it harder for you to function normally as well. Sometimes your don't do might be don't go shopping because you know you can't afford it.
Right.
Don't do things that will mess up your credit or future credit worthiness. This is a big don't for young people, and especially for women, and for several reasons. One reason is women generally make less money than men. Therefore, if you make less money, it stands to reason that you may need credit more than someone who makes more money. Another reason why women should especially be concerned is about maintaining good credit is because half of all marriages end in divorce. And when divorce happens, women generally are responsible for raising and supporting the kids on a day-to-day basis. So who needs credit more, the ex-husband who's living alone or the wife mother who has to meet the day-to-day wants and needs of herself and kids? And in our, with our women, that's so true because, you know, they are pretty much left on their own.
Right.
While their husbands go off and discover their new lives, many of them are left emotionally and financially abandoned.
Right.
So I think that's like a really good point. On your next chapter in Principle 8, a really great chapter, also avoid these pitfalls and bad habits. And you mentioned five of them. Maybe you could talk a little bit about them. Denial, procrastination, premature parenthood, savior seeking, and the Cinderella complex, and escapism and addictions. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. These are just some behaviors that you could get into, and you kind of don't think they're that bad, but they really are affecting your ability to be as successful as you could be. And denial is a big one, and you know I'm sure you probably have talked about this with your women, you know, a lot, because, you know, you just don't want to face it. There's certain things you just don't want to face, and I'm sure with your women, you know, they don't want to deal with this, basically. You know, it's like the last thing you want to think is happening in your marriage. And,
exactly.
And so you try to protect yourself by just not letting yourself really see the reality of the situation. But, you know, as you come to know, denying something is not going to make it go away, and it's not going to change it, and it's not going to make it what you want it to be. So you really cannot allow yourself to deny reality because it just doesn't help anything.
Mm-hmm.
And procrastination. That's another thing, you know. People don't think that's a big deal generally. You know, it's so easy to say, oh, you know, I'll call and find out about that job next week, or, you know, I'm going to make plans to get out of this relationship in a month, and then a month comes, and then, you know, something else happens, and you procrastinate. And before you know it, you're in a bad relationship for years on end. You know,
exactly.
And now you're bitter and you're angry and you don't know how to get out of it and you're older. So I make a point of talking about how procrastination is bad because you don't think it's that bad, you know, and that's, you know, one of the things that you really need to take it seriously because you can really waste a lot of your time in procrastination, you know. In
I always tell
life.
Women that every day you lose in a bad marriage is a day you can never get back.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at these days and they become weeks and the weeks become months and the months become years. And before you know it, you know, 5 years, 10 years are gone and you've been unhappy. And
right.
A lot of our women have this horrible, you know, need to justify their reason for leaving a marriage. You know, they have to have absolute proof because what will people think? And I said that half the population gets divorced and they don't care what people think. They just know they're not happy and they don't
right.
want to have to stay unhappy. It's only our women have to keep, you know, finding, like, detectives proof all the time. And we tell them, waste of your time.
Right.
You know, every day that you're unhappy and miserable, you know, what proof do you need that you're just not happy? That should be good enough.
Exactly.
You bring up also in this chapter about the Cinderella complex. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that kind of ties in with blaming other people and kind of you being, you know, it's just that you think that the man is going to complete you, basically, is the gist of it. And you believe the fairy tale that, you know, you will be happy when you're married and you have a family. And that's just, you know, you if you're waiting for somebody else to complete you and make you happy, you're setting yourself up to fail. Because, you know, like we said earlier, all people have flaws. Men have flaws. We know they have flaws. You know, we know they don't really understand us that well a lot of the time. So why are you putting your hopes and your goals on meeting a man who's going to complete you? You know, that's the Cinderella complex. You have to complete yourself. You have to be who you want to be, you know, and then attract somebody who likes that, who likes the woman and the person that you are. You know, Prince Charming is a fictional character. He doesn't really exist. And you shouldn't be waiting for him to come into your life and complete you.
And I think in this chapter also you bring up again about the abandonment issue from your father. If your father wasn't there for you or he didn't love you the way you wanted or needed him to,
right,
going from one unfulfilling relationship to another in search of the father you never had will not solve your abandonment issue. The real issue beneath your abandonment issue is low self-esteem. And substitutes and addictions will never increase your self-esteem or satisfy the original wound or need. In order to solve and heal your real issues and wounds, you must expose them to the light and do things that truly make you proud of yourself instead of needing validation from others in order to feel good about yourself.
Right.
I think those are such beautiful words that you put in there. And smart women recognize the danger of managing their pain and disappointment via addictions. You know, we talk about this a lot also, Carmen. A lot of times women, you know, and this makes me extremely sad when I discuss it, and I hate bringing it up because it does make me ill.
Uh-huh.
But we see so many of our women who are taking antidepressants in order to survive in a relationship. Have you run across that?
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that myself. Yeah. Had a lot of years.
If you have to, you know, numb your mind in order to stay in a relationship, you know, think about that.
Right.
Whole concept. I mean, there's something really drastically wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that women don't go through depression or after a marriage has ended. You
right.
know, they feel they need some temporary help, fine. But, you know, just to stay in a marriage and take antidepressants in order to stay in it, does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't. You're just covering up the issue. You're just covering up the issue, you know, and that's the point, you know. Not to deny what's really going on and cover things up. You have to deal with what's really going on.
Exactly. And then you have in your chapter 9, appreciation and gratitude. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, you know, okay, a lot of the rest of the book is, you know, talking about do's and don'ts and, you know, setting goals and meeting goals and all these types of things, but really we live life in the moment, one day at a time, right now. So another part of being successful is being able to appreciate what's going on right now, in the here and now. And even when, you know, like your women, or if they're still in the bad relationship or whatnot, you have to focus on what is going right, because, you know, if the relationship is bad, they want to get out of it, but look at what you do have that is going right. If you're healthy, that's a good thing, because you can then make plans to get on and move on. You know, if you have your own career and your own money, that's a good thing. That's something to appreciate and be grateful for, because you're not totally dependent, you know. If you have family and friends who can help you, shows like this, books that you can read, you know, counseling or whatever, and just the ability to enjoy a beautiful day, to just, you know, and have things that you do in the course of a day that make you happy, you know, if only in that moment. You know, you can't always be thinking about what happened in the past and what's going to happen tomorrow, because it's not here yet. So you have to be able to appreciate what you do have in the course of every day.
Uh-huh.
And that's part of success, because if you're always, you know, in what happened before and what's going to happen next, when do you have time to be happy? This is the day that you have to be happy, the day we're in now. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So you have to find a way to make the best of every day.
And then you end the book with your last principle of success, which is seeking balance. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, I say that basically, you know, every day you need a little bit of everything. You know, you need a little bit of stimulation. You need some love and hugs. You need to be productive. You need sleep. You need exercise, and all of these things add up to being happy and feeling content and being successful and well-balanced. So, you know, you don't want to go too far in any extreme, I guess, is we, you know, the point of this one. You know, for you, for instance, you can go, that's the thing, addictions. You can go from one addiction to another. You know, it's being a workaholic is not good. You know, because you're out of balance there. So just the point is, in the course of any day, we all need various things to feel balanced in that day. And if you're honest with yourself and you're emotionally sensitive, you know, if this is today, you just need to rest today, maybe, you know, and meditate. And then tomorrow, you know, you're going to get up and take action and go out and do the things that you need to do. You know, so it's just a matter of being emotionally sensitive and just realizing that life is just, there's a lot of things that go into it, you know, and go into making yourself happy and feeling good about yourself in the course of any one day.
One of the things that, one of the pieces that you end your book with talks about a love addiction, Cinderella syndrome, savior seeking imbalance. And
right.
It says, when a woman is determined to find Mr. Right and feels that her life will not be complete without him, she has a self-love imbalance. And I love that, self-love imbalance, or self-esteem imbalance. Been there, done that, lived to write this book. The root cause of love addiction, savior-seeking, or the compulsive need to attach to or bond with someone else is a self-love, self-esteem imbalance. A woman with this imbalance feels she needs to bond with another because she doesn't think she's enough or that she's capable of acquiring what she needs on her own. The problem with trying to fill an internal need with an external substance, in this case a man or a relationship, is that you never really fill the need or the void. You just cover it up with an external substance. The only real cure for a low self-esteem imbalance is to realize that you are worthy enough and capable of doing great things that you can be proud of by yourself. The remedy for self-esteem imbalance is self-love, self-nurturing, goal-setting, action, and accomplishment.
Right.
And I think that's just so beautifully put.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then, you do have your own story in here at the end. You know, people have to wait till the end to read this. But that's okay. You know, and I think it's beautiful that you're willing to share this and that you yourself went through a lot of this as far as blaming others, correct?
Right,
Instead of taking responsibility.
Exactly, exactly. And the writing actually became my way out because...
Uh-huh.
It was the thing that I had that was completely and totally mine. You know, it had nothing to do with a relationship. It had nothing to do with anyone else. And it was something that I just decided to do on my own. And the more that I did it, the stronger I became in myself. And then I just kind of, it just kind of changed the whole mindset. And writing did it for me, but for someone else, it can be anything that you just really have a passion for, you know,
mm-hmm.
or that you're really interested in doing. And when you allow yourself and give yourself the space and the time to do what it is you really want to do, just nothing feels better. There's just nothing better. And nobody can take that away from you once you start accomplishing those things that are most important to you. And then you stop going for the okey-doke, you know, and you stop taking whatever, you know, anybody wants to throw at you, because you have your own. So I encourage, really, really, really encourage women to find what that is for you. And if you have to do it in the smallest steps possible, experience that for yourself. And that will help you make the shift from where you are, if it's not where you are, to where you want to be.
Well, Misty, what do you think of all of this? I mean, this is amazing.
Here's what I love. I love everything that you've said tonight, Carmen. And what I really, really like, being a book lover myself, I own way too many books. But, you know, anyway, I do read a lot. And what I really love about your book, and I can't wait to see a copy of it, but what you're saying tonight is that not only do you have stories in there and you have it broken down into different chapters, you also have very practical activities and tips, it sounds like. So many books are missing that. They will talk about a concept, but where's the action? Where's
right.
the action can the person take? So I love how you've broken that down. And one thing I'd really like to comment on, you know, the blame game. How we always blame others. And, you know, I've been there, done that, been guilty of that as well. And one thing I think is so important that you've said is to, you know, quit doing that. Take responsibility for yourself. And I think when we do that, we take back our power. And I work with so many women. When you play the blame game and you blame everyone else instead of taking responsibility, and, of course, terrible things happen to people. I'm not discounting that. Terrible,
right.
terrible things happen. But when you give your power away by blaming someone, you're out of control. You have no control. You're letting your control of the situation you have go.
Right.
And it's so sad. You know, so I just can't wait. I'm excited, and I can't wait to read your book. I can't wait to see what, you know, tips, advice, and activities you have in there, because, in my opinion, as a person, as a life coach, and as a therapist that works with, you know, many different women, it's that practical, small steps, small activities
right.
that make such a huge difference, such a huge impact in your life, because it's all about building, you know, just small to the large, and, you know, gaining the confidence. And I can't wait to read it. I mean, I would, from what I've heard tonight, I would highly recommend it to anyone listening.
Well,
I really
thank
would.
You.
It's
thank
wonderful.
You. And I can't wait to do my visualization board and my my jar with my pebbles.
Well, you let me know how that goes.
Okay.
I do want to mention to people, you know, how to get your book, because I just ordered three of them, Carmen. I got your discount rate here on your website.
Oh.
I just ordered them from I just used my PayPal, so I ordered three, because I'm going to be using them for holiday gifts for some people I know who really need them.
Oh,
because these
great.
Words will be more powerful as a gift than anything I could possibly ever buy for them.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
And
I have special offers. Yeah, it is available.
I
have
that.
A website, womenssuccessguide.com. That's
now, do they have to put the dashes in between?
They really don't.
I googled
the Women's Success Guide, and it does come up without the dashes.
Let me try it here. Let's see if it comes through. I don't want to miss that. No, I'm not getting it.
You're not getting it? Okay, well, officially.
So let me tell them how to do it, because I don't want them to miss this opportunity. And if you can't do it right, then please email me at bonk@aol.com, and I will send you the link to Carmen's website. But the way to get the book, and, you know, Carmen also has some other good offers with this that I'll have her tell you about in a minute. It's Women's Success Guide, but there is a dash in between women's and success. So it's womens-success-guide.com. And her website will come up, and then you can do just like I did. You can order her book and tell them about, I see your special deal on here. They do this before November 30th, which is only 2 days. But Maybe you can extend that a week or two.
Oh,
for
I will extend it. Yes, I will extend that. Yeah, I'm going to extend that until the middle of December. And what you can get is you get 10% off the retail price, and this is for your listeners and anybody that goes on the website in the next week or so, an autographed copy of the book, and I'm going to send you a separate 2011 weekly planner. So as you're making your goals, you can put them in there, you know, on a weekly basis. And I'm also including one personalized telephone success coaching session with me. So these are four different offers. And then there are offers for buying two and three of the book. Because
I just bought three because I'm going to tell you now, if you're coming from this situation, you know other people in the same situation. And, you know, this is like the best gift. I told you, I don't, you know, I'm not like Misty. I don't read. You know, Misty reads a million books. I have no patience. But this is so easy to read. The words are just so beautifully written that anybody can spend, you know, an hour or two going through this and practice these exercises and, you know, use this as your mantra every day. Wake up and read a chapter of this because it will make you feel totally different.
Oh,
and I never say
Molly.
That about any book, Carmen, and I've had other authors come on here and promote their books. And I really, you know, I'm happy to do that whenever we have an author who has, you know, a book on this subject.
Right.
But you've never heard me promote a book like this. I just love this book, and I'm going to keep quoting from your book all throughout the year.
Oh, thank you,
encouraging people
Molly.
To buy this because I'm just so amazed at how simple it is, how much sense it makes, and you're willing to offer not only the book, and the book is the most... certainly costs less than my books. It's $14.95. And also, as Carmen mentioned, she's going to send you her planning calendar and also a free coaching session, life coaching session, which, you know, you're not going to find that anywhere. So I think it's the best deal that our women can possibly get. And Carmen, in my upcoming newsletter, I'm certainly going to promote it as well.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie.
That goes out to thousands of people around the world. So hopefully.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Yes, we're in a company of 4 million women in this country and millions of more around the world who are all in the same situation that we're in. It's, you know, a very sad situation.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But, you know, show and through our support networks that you'll now be part of, you know, women have new hope and their lives have been able to move on. And,
right.
You know, willing to give up, you know, the toxic relationships they're in. As Misty calls it, dancing in the circle of crazy. That's Misty phrasing it.
And you two do such terrific work. And Misty, I love the workshops and things that you do. I really can't wait to read more of the newsletters and find out about everything else that's going on. You really give a lot of support with this issue, and it's just wonderful, just really great.
Well, unfortunately, I think that women just need support, as you say. And one of the things we always bring up to women is a point that you made earlier, that when you're going through this kind of horrific situation, you need to find support, whether it's in friends, family,
right,
somewhere. You know, some women are just so isolated, and they're so afraid to ask for help, and they're so afraid of being embarrassed by what, you know, people are going to think, because
right.
they have no self-esteem to start with, and they don't feel worthy of even, you know, talking to somebody about it.
Uh-huh.
So the job is a very big job to try to get people to, you know, start to think about themselves. Carmen, let me ask your opinion on this. I tell women that sometimes when you're in toxic relationships, I understand that some women just can't walk out. But I say that you have to be emotionally free because, you know, before you can become physically free. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally. 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 You have to be able to let go.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's a concept that we could probably spend 90 minutes on just with that.
Oh,
you know?
Good. We'll
sometimes,
have you back soon.
Sometimes you just have to let go. You just have to let go.
And I know that we took up this whole evening with you and didn't have callers calling in because I just thought it was so important for you to get the message out about the book. But if you wouldn't mind being our guest again in the near future, and we'll let people call in and ask you questions.
Yeah, that would be fun. I would love that. I would love
that. I think they can learn so much from you.
Time flies when you're having fun. I didn't think I had that much to talk about.
I told you, and I really rushed you through a lot of this. I wanted to do a lot more, but, you know, I wanted to make sure we got in all of your principles. from the book. And once again, as Misty was mentioning, the great part about this book is that every chapter has exercises for you to do.
Right.
And, in fact, you have exercises for building your self-esteem, exercises for goal setting, and
right.
little simple things, but they really make a difference on how to visualize success. And each exercise that you do will really take you to that next step of building your self-esteem. Wouldn't you say so?
I say so. And it helps you release. It helps you release these things, hopefully. That's the goal anyway, to identify your issues and release them. You have to let go of things to move on. You have to make space for the things that you want. So you have to let go of what you don't want so you can be available for what you do want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with the women that you've worked with this, have you seen good success?
I have. And here's another funny thing that I didn't even expect, but like I have two sons and they have friends and the book will be laying around and their friends will flip through it. And darn if they don't tell me, you know, these principles work for men too. And I didn't even expect that at all. But, you know, in a lot of ways there are, you know, just overall principles, just, you know, that everyone can take advantage of. But I specifically, you know, focused on women because I feel very strongly that we do have our own issues, you know, going back to the way we're raised and all of that. So, but, yeah, that's...
But I think it's really true that if men could also take this advice, you know, there are a lot of men who are in these codependent, you know, controlling relationships
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they could clear out some of their own, you know, baggage.
Right.
And start to feel good about themselves instead of just codepending on someone else to make them feel better by doing whatever they want.
Right.
And, you know, well, I don't think those kind of men ever really see the truth, though.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I think they're givers. But there's some wonderful men out there who, you know, also have really low self-esteem, and they're just givers, givers, givers also. So I think it's true that, you
mm-hmm.
know, a lot of men could learn from this as well.
Right.
So I just feel that this is just a great learning experience for everybody who's going to read it. So the only thing I would ask in closing with you, Carmen, is that we won't let you off the phone unless you promise to come back again. You know,
okay, I'd love to.
Drain a little more
energy
out of you. Well, next time, like I say, we'll open it up to our callers to call in.
Okay, that'd be great.
You help for so much. And you tell a little bit about yourself. You live in California, right?
I live in California, although I'm telling myself I can have both because I love a lot of things about Philadelphia. I like things about L.A. So I'm expanding my own horizons and telling myself I can have both. And this
uh-huh.
is the beginning of me having both, coming here for a month or so to talk about the book and spend time with my relatives and just see where it goes. Because the other thing I've told myself is, you know, successful people move around. So you don't have
uh-huh.
to stay in just one place. Like, you know that. You know, I listened to your show. You were in Florida one day and you were in New York seeing the shows and you're back in Philadelphia today. You know,
and that was my big travel for the year, by the way. That's about a
what
four,
you saw
you know.
two shows in a weekend.
In
right?
one weekend, yeah, that was my big weekend. Yeah, they're
that
usually not
fantastic.
That exciting. Yeah, I try to force myself if I'm too old, you know, to try to do something exciting once in a while.
Right.
But, you know, like I say, as I'm aging, not that gracefully.
Now let me ask you this: have you ever done shows about how principles for how to have a successful relationship? Because I listened to one of your past shows, and I am so impressed that you have had a 17-year relationship, almost 18. Is that correct?
No, it's going to be 17 in January.
Oh, it's going to be 17, so it's 16, almost 17. That's a millennium for a lot of relationships.
Well, I think
so you are doing something right.
Yes,
and I think you should share some of those stuff, some of that.
Yes. What I did write is that I'm not married. And I think that makes a very big difference in a relationship. Uh-huh. And I always tell my women that there are two different kinds of women, and I'm not embarrassed to say I'm this kind. I mean, there are those women who love the companionship and stability, and I love the excitement and the romance. You know, I'm still a romantic woman in my heart.
Wow.
You know, I love being in love, and even though I'm almost 60, you know, it's still very important in my relationship, having a good sexual relationship, a good emotional relationship. And I just, you know, every morning I wake up and my heart still patters when my boyfriend calls me if he's not here. You know, and I like
that
and I think that
fantastic.
When you're married, you really lose a lot of that.
Right. That is fantastic. I know. When I was hearing you talking about that, I was like, how does she do that? And
yeah.
To keep
that's
it
my
exciting and everything.
That's my point of being happy is not being married. But that's me. You know, like I say, a lot of other women find happiness
right.
in loving relationships, you know, and they do get married. But, you know, I'm older now, and I've already gone through several marriages. So,
right.
you know, I don't have that need to have to be married again.
Right.
So
but I think if married people looked at it the way that you do and went about it the way that you do, a lot more of them would stay married and the spark would stay in the marriage, you know?
Yeah. I was never
I
good
hear
at figuring
you.
That one out, though. You know, when I was married, I never had that kind of success. But I think that's because, you know, I wasn't who I am today. I think part of it is maturing. And as
right.
you say, learning to love yourself enough that you want the best for yourself. And
right.
that's why I had short-term marriages, because I loved myself enough to know after a couple of years, if I'm not happy, I'm not staying.
Right.
You know, I felt that, you know, if I couldn't be in love and feel excited about the person I'm with, I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So at least I give myself that credit, you know.
Right.
But I had a hard time, as I always tell, you know, our listeners, in my own relationship with this wonderful man, because I had such low self-esteem coming into this relationship and not being able to communicate what I wanted or what I needed for, like you say, for fear that he's going to leave me.
Right.
And it took a long time for me to change my behaviors and communicate. I said communication is the key in any relationship. You know, even to this day, sometimes when I get mad at my boyfriend, he'll say, I know you're mad at me, and you know I don't know why, but I have to figure it out, right? And so I've gotten past that now. Now I'm willing to tell him. In the past, I would say, don't you know why, you know, you hurt my feelings? And he'll say, no, can you tell me? I'll say, no, you figure it out. Well, that's not really helping anything.
Right.
He'll never figure it out. It could be something he never even thought of to start with.
Right.
And I say that communication is truly the key to, you know, being successful in a relationship and accepting people. As you said, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, and as long as the pros outweigh the cons,
right,
in a long way, you know, it has to be a long list of pros and a short list of cons, and you can have a successful relationship. But, you know, I would never settle for anything that wasn't good for me anymore, and I think that's my life lesson.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to teach our women, that if you don't fix yourself after these relationships and spend a year or two in recovery, and just like in any other kind of addiction recovery, they tell you wait a solid year before you find yourself in a new relationship. You need to repair yourself.
Right.
And there's a lot to be said for that. Those women who need to jump into something else always find themselves in destructive relationships again.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you found that also through your work.
I did. And I used to do that myself. I used to do that myself.
Too.
That was the way to, you know, get over the last one, get right in another one. You know, and then that's not good. It doesn't work.
That's not the solution. And we tell our women, we know that, you know, you haven't been loved, and we know that you haven't been with a straight man. You have no sexual esteem, but just jumping in with another man is not going to make that difference. You know, give yourself time.
Right.
You know, and I tell women, practice, practice, practice until your soulmate comes along. You know, there's nothing wrong with going out and having fun and experience what you haven't had in years with your husband, because our husbands don't perform sexually at all. They're, like, broken that way. So, you know, if you want to go out and just prove that, you know, you have normal sexual desires and that you're not a nymphomaniac, that straight men can love you, you know, that's fine. But just don't get emotionally attached to the first man that comes along.
Right. That's
so those are our words of wisdom for the night, Carmen. And you can go out and practice all you want. That's fine. That's part of our philosophy around here, right, Misty?
Okay,
you know,
all right.
Yes, we advocate that for the most part. Yes, we do.
Yeah. Practice, practice, practice till your soulmate comes along.
That's
but anyway,
great.
Thank you so much for being our guest. And once again, if you need Carmen's information, please write to me at bondk@AOL. I'll send you her link, order her book. It will change your life. And Carmen, hopefully by the holiday season, we'll have you back here again.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie.
All right. Thanks
Misty.
So much for being our guest. And
okay.
Have a wonderful week.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.